Is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to our continuing work with glamour. The dissipation of. This is a really a roller coaster ride that we're on at the moment, at least in the United States, where the battle for democracy is being fought out. And it won't be just democracy with regard to the United States, it will have world implications. We've been using the second mantra, the second of the great invocations to enlist the divine will. And most every program that we have, matter of fact, every program that we have, we are using this invocation. And we cannot know whether it will immediately have an effect, but certainly there is a stirring with the Libra full moon and the use of this very powerful first ray mantra. So let's use it now with full concentration, realizing that we are invoking the Christ as we use it, the Kalki avatar, the rider on the white horse from the secret place, and the evocation of the saving force, as well as these powerful lords presently in Shambhala, representing liberty, equality, and fraternity, the lords of liberation. We have to literally fight back against the onslaught, which is occurring at this time, to block the way for the successful reception within humanity of the consequences of the great conclave that's coming up in now less than 5 years. So we this is part of our mobilization. It doesn't mean we stop using the other invocations by any means, but this is pretty strong medicine. And since the other side will do anything along the line of the negation of principle, one has to be ready for that. DK once said, you know, expect absolutely no mercy from the members of the Lodge of Darkness, the Lodge of Form. Six leaders in the West, six leaders in the East. So we are doing what we can to counteract that onslaught. Of course, in Shambhala, evil is fought. That is the place that deals with cosmic evil, but we simply lend our cooperation. And that's what we'll do. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O mighty one. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O mighty one. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall, the rule of evil now must end. And as we know, this was written at a very dark moment in the Second World War. Not written, but it was released to humanity at that dark moment. The triple energies, will, love, and activity, are to be released. Note the will to save, a particular type of will, also connected with the second ray. Then love, and then the truth. So we'll continue in this very unpredictable situation to support the forces of light and to support the soul of humanity, which is sometimes hard to see amidst all of the personality clamor, glamour and clamor, so much noise which resists the true sounding of the word. We know we're in a situation now where yet another disruption, potential disruption of the voting process is underway, and almost like a moral karmic tale, if it is true, it appears that the president and his close circle are afflicted by this virus. We don't know how far it goes. We know that Vice President Biden has tested negative, and there are a number who have tested negative, but there's the possibility of a super spreader phenomenon going on here amidst all of the bravado, where there is a refusal to take scientific precautions, as if somehow it to do so would reduce one's courage. Instead, it's ignorant defiance in the face of a very lethal disease. So with only maybe a month, just about a month left before the election here, it will be an intense time, and we have to stand steady with masked intent, using very much the power of Vulcan, the spiritual will, to stand for those principles which so many who seem to serve the forces of obstruction, those principles which they deny and with which they cannot bother. So I don't think for any of us it's going to be a restful month. We will continue working with this glamour of manipulation, because all kinds of lies are coming forth to mislead people and to create circumstances which invalidate their will. We cannot stand idly by and just watch that happen. We have to use our esoteric techniques the best we can to serve esoterically with the new group of world servers, and some perhaps can serve also in the outer way. Now, there are many programs going on here tonight. This program will be a little shorter than usual because of the sacred pentagram approach, which begins at 7 p.m. GMT. And I think it's on Zoom. And maybe Michael's very busy right now, also helping the Italian group who are having their conference right now. Only they are having a conference like our recent conference, which is over the computer. It's a virtual conference. It worked very well for us, and our team members are helping the Italian group face this possibility of doing the same. You know, naturally, when you do something for the first time, you may be a little bit wary. Can it be as effective as meeting in person? And I suppose at this time and under these circumstances and with the second wave of the COVID disease striking Europe, it is the best way to proceed. Well, I just want to say hi to all of you. I'm glad you're here. Just very quickly, Annette and Ario and Barbara, Carl, Catherine, Deborah, and Jan, Jessica, and Joan, Johi, and Karen, and Keith, the Valley. Nice to see you. And Margot, Maria, Martine, and Maria, it looks like, Santos. Hello, and Miro, and Nessa, Nicole, and Nienke, and Olivia, and Risto, and Stacia, Tia, Zenaide, and Anne, Veronica, and over here we have BL and Michael helping in the technical side of things. So we have a little bit of reading to do where we left off, and all I have to do is find it. There it is. Okay. The segue. Okay. And it looks like BL has just given us the link for the Sacred Pentagram on Zoom, so you can find that in the chat box. It says that men are being rapidly disillusioned. We usually think of it as a bad thing, but in this case, it means rid of their illusions and their mistaken interpretations, and will consequently see more clearly. The world glamour is being steadily removed from the ways of men. Two things are happening here. The disillusionment, and that is the dispelling of illusion, and the dissipation of the glamour. And DK will also be dealing with the Maya, which interestingly is probably the very first line of attack that we will be utilizing, especially from Rule 10 in the Rays and the Initiations, clearing the veils of Maya, of impulsion, of distortion, of separation and aspiration. Those four veils will be lifted, and the cleaning out of the courts as found in the on the etheric level. Now, we'll go on for a little while. As I say, I have to be careful that we don't overrun because there are so many things going on tonight, including Alexander and Katya and the 2025 group, which I think starts just an hour after we, maybe an hour, okay, but shortly after we do the sacred pentagram. So DK says, basically, these two developments, clearing the illusion and glamour, these two developments have been brought about by the incoming new ideas, focused through the world intuitives and released to the general public by the world thinkers. And maybe some of us were alive when it seemed like a great flood of ideas from the East, maybe very old ideas and very well established, found their way into California and across the nation eventually, and in many countries over the next, I would say from the early to mid 60s all the way into the 70s. People were thinking in a new way, and many of the older souls were present. I think when you compare the kind of thought, the kind of attitudes which were found in the 60s and 70s with what was going on in the 1950s and earlier, well, the war was earlier, there was a transition. And the children who came in, I think, were quite advanced. And they resisted the ignorance which is produced by identifying only as a personality. So the world intuitives came in and fed ideas to the world thinkers. And, this has somewhat waned, we might say. And DK did say that the day of opportunity would last only so long. I think he was pointing to the time when the second ray would be going out of incarnation in one of its lesser cycles. At the same time, the emergence of the spiritual hierarchy and the intended reappearance of the Christ will keep that second ray of broader healing and illumination, education, as an influence, a powerful influence in the consciousness of humanity. It has been also largely aided, this incoming of new ideas, by the well-nigh unconscious, but nonetheless real recognition of the true meaning of these four noble truths by the masses. I kept on thinking that on the first ray you had the four freedoms, and on the second ray, basically, you have the four noble truths, which essentially tell us that if we identify with the phenomenal and the unreal, the result will be suffering. And I guess everybody has to prove that for themselves. But I was just thinking, as DK tells us in esoteric psychology, that those to whom we have been attached in a personal way, are restored to us later on a higher turn of the spiral. And we can look forward with confidence to that restoration. You know, people are always afraid of losing something to which they are attached, but DK is telling us really that when we identify properly, nothing is ever lost. I like that indigo color very much. Excuse me if you can't read what's behind it. Okay, so disillusioned and de-glamored, if I may use such a term, humanity awaits the coming revelation. I think this was written really before the war had concluded, at least maybe just the first part of that great war, which some have called the Armageddon, had concluded when this, you know, in the 1930s, when much of this was written, but then the Second World War had to occur, given humanity's evocation of those forces. So the coming revelation is still the coming revelation. There's been a lot of anticipation about what it might be, and great thoughts have swept over humanity in so many different countries. It's a question of whether we can sustain and make practical the implications of those great thoughts, because they could be thrown aside in a recrudescence of materialism. We have to be very careful there. The revelation, the coming revelation, will be brought about by the combined efforts of the Buddha and the Christ. And you know, they do work so cooperatively together when it comes to the Waisak festival and when it comes to the festival of the Christ. Maybe the Buddha is not so involved in the Easter festival per se. But if you read the externalization of the hierarchy, or I've completed some commentary on that in a video manner, you'll find that behind these terrible events that occurred in the last century and amounted to a great war from 1914 to 1945, the Buddha and the Christ were always at work trying to ameliorate the situation and using, I would say, the most powerful methods at their disposal. Without the two of them doing what they did, you wonder, could there have been the victory there was? And after reading that material, it seems no. I don't think there would have been victory. I think humanity might easily have been overcome in the general demanding everything we had, that particular war. So we owe more to these two great teachers than we can at this time possibly realize. And as we go along on the path of initiation, we will realize it. All that we can foresee or foretell anent that coming revelation is that some potent and far-reaching results will be achieved by the merging of light and love. You know, the Buddha, the Lord of light, Lord of wisdom, the Christ, the Lord of love, and in a sense, the Lord of loving understanding and of love wisdom. Wisdom makes its appearance continually. So, the Revelation will be achieved through the merging of light and love, and our planetary activity at the moment is precisely that, merging the loving second ray soul of the planet with its potentially lighted third ray personality. And by the reaction of, quote, lighted substance to the attractive power of love. And so we can say that this is how purification works. Love is a great magnet and attracts substance, which is conditioned pretty much according to moonchain methods. But the attraction works a regenerative possibility onto substance. So a substance, sentient body, that's not it. So substance is regenerated under the magnetic power of love. And I think anybody who has really experienced this Christ love, and I'm sure we all have at certain times, knows that it is something unique, something that we have to experience before the words we use are really meaningful to us. The power of love, the chalice of love, the chalice of Christ's love. This, of course, is what the Blue Rose Sisterhood is attempting to gather for presentation to the Christ in 2025. The lighted substance, the reaction of lighted substance to the attractive power of love. How else will you regenerate the substance conditioned by the patterns of the moonchain and also by the patterns of the previous solar system, previous major solar system? And DK says, in this sentence, I have given those who can understand a profound and useful hint as to the method and purpose of the undertaking, which was staged for the June full moon, 1942. So I guess this book is written, what should we say, across a couple of decades, because already 1942 was well into the year, June of 42, well into the year when things were looking especially dark. And even hierarchy was almost to the point of giving up temporarily on humanity, because it looked like humanity would go down. So when we want to regenerate the etheric substance, and basically the substance of the personality, the power of love is indispensable. So we have to think it through. In what way is this a profound and useful hint? Going on, I have also given a clue as to the true understanding of the work of these avatars, Christ and the Buddha, I guess, a thing hitherto quite unrealized. They are, I guess we can say, they are conducting a great regeneration under the influence of love, wisdom. And maybe as we deal with people and we run into those difficulties which we would rather not face, there's something about the attractive power of love which will turn everything around, change the substance with which we are dealing. It might be added that when an appreciation of the meaning of the words, I just have to get there, the meaning of the words transfiguration of a human being is gained, the realization will come that when the body is full of light, it's a very Taurian thing to say, then in that light we shall see light. And this is, I want to say, the light of the intuition, the light of the very acute, purified, reasoning mind will, when released, lead to the possibility of evoking and absorbing the intuition. The transfiguration of the human being, it's really the beginning of the true path of initiation, and the light content that can be found substanding matter is released through matter, and maybe one of the very first of a number of glorifications occurs. The Christ was glorified before his three prostrate disciples, who bowed before the light demonstration that they witnessed. So, our body has to become filled with light at the first solar initiation, and the power of love, the power of the illuminating planet Venus, so important in the dispelling of glamour, that power must be released into the situation, as well as that of the fifth ray, which is the quality of the Ray Lord, who is the most luminous, the fifth Ray Lord. So all of this, you know, lies ahead for the majority of students, this glorification, this light demonstration. We are heading for it if we follow the rules carefully and make them make their expression a fundamental of our spiritual life. All this means that when the personality has reached the point of purification, of dedication, and illumination, then the attractive power of the soul, whose nature is love and understanding, can function, and fusion of these two will take place, the light and the love. We use so often, you know, our ways of signing letters. I remember in the arcane school days, when I was working there, we signed our letters, you know, light and love, love and light. But now we have to have a deeper experienced recognition of what those energies really are and what they are when they are fused together. The fusion of the two will take place. This is what the Christ proved and demonstrated. So he had perfection in the possibility of his personality, possibilities, and their potential for being illuminated and filled with love. And he was a soul walking the earth, expressing Christ consciousness through substance. And then there will be no glamour, of course, when Christ consciousness can be expressed through through substance, then the illumination of the personality takes place, its glorification, shall we say. It must have been an astonishing sight, you know. The Christ actually showed some of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to his disciples. I mean, you know, he was taken up in a cloud. That's the only way they could describe it, when he ascended. And that was the sixth initiation.
Michael?
Yes, BL. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry for the interruption, but Olivia has her hand up.
Well, we're not going to take any, not right now, not yet. We'll do that, Olivia and everybody, when we get to it. I want to, and you can come back to this part. So no questions, no responses during the lecture part. And then when I open up to the larger part, then we'll take those things into consideration. Okay, so there are two great moments before the disciples. One is glorification at the third degree, and another is this abstraction onto the monadic plane as what is called the ascension, the sixth initiation, which makes of the initiate the monad on its own plane. Okay, let's go on a little bit more. When the work of the Buddha, or the embodied Buddhic principle, is consummated in the aspiring disciple. The heights, by the way, of idealistic aspiration are found in Taurus, which is the Buddha's great sign. So let's just say this, heights of aspiration, idealistic aspiration, are found in Taurus. And we recognize, regarding the Buddha, that he is identified with this sign of illumination, born at the Taurus full moon, so the legend tells us. Of course, he wasn't really born. I mean, he had already been head of the hierarchy for almost 2,500 years, but his vessel was born at that time. Born at that time, achieving illumination with a cosmic touch at that time, and that was the actual Buddha, and dying at that time, that was not the Buddha. That was, again, Gautama, or Prince Siddhartha. So when the work of the Buddha, and note what they're calling him here, or the embodied Buddhic principle, is consummated in the aspiring disciple, and the Buddhic principle is one of love, wisdom, but it's also one of pure reason and intuition. There are many faculties which come out on the Buddhic plane, but this idea of love, wisdom is one of the main ones. When this is consummated in the aspiring disciple and in his integrated personality, then the expression of the work of the Christ, the embodied principle of love, can also be consummated, because in a way the Christ built upon what the Buddha created. The Buddha opened the door to accepted discipleship. He also taught a number of arhats. That was still more esoteric work, but he taught what it meant to be a truly accepted disciple, and the Christ built upon that and taught the path of initiation. Okay, so then the full expression of the work of the Christ, the embodied principle of love, can also be consummated. And both these potencies, light and love, will find radiant expression in the transfigured disciple. Now there we have it. We have one description of what the Transfiguration is. I suppose there are a lot of people, too many, I would say, who think that somehow they have taken the third initiation. But it is a very, it was very rare in the Tibetans group. He never talked about Alice Bailey, but it's obvious that she had, at some point in her life, being, I would say, born as a second degree initiate, that she took the Transfiguration. I mean, the way she, her attitude towards religion was very much one of the second degree. There was a certain fanaticism in it, but then it gave way to something extremely luminous. And he talked about Roberto Assagioli in that way too, as an initiated disciple. He didn't talk about anybody else as having achieved that, but one man was preparing for it. So in the Transfiguration towards which we all aspire, both of these potencies, light and love, will find radiant expression in the transfigured disciple. Is it, you know, how long, how far along the way are we? Do you find this in yourself, or are the clouds still sweeping in now and then? I would say for most of us, there are cloudy days. What is true, therefore, of the individual is also true of humanity as a whole. And today, humanity, having reached maturity, note that, okay, sort of like the three over two, you know, out of five, 3/2 is the coming in of maturity, or even stepping on the path of initiation, or even going through the possibility of the first initiation is a kind of maturity compared to the adolescent stage that humanity has been in. That today humanity, having reached maturity, can enter into realization and consciously take part in the work of enlightenment and of spiritual loving activity. All of these reach a kind of fulfillment at the Transfiguration. And by the way, that word realization is a high word. Now, you know where it's found, right? You know that that particular city or power is found on the fifth sublevel of the atmic plane. It's very high. And so we talk glibly about realization, but realization has something to do with knowing about the way divine will and the spirit pervade all things. It's not just like, oh, I got a bright idea, I realize. Well, it's that too in a lesser sense, but the real realization is something atmic, and we're hardly ready to even have the Buddhic consciousness. So let's be appropriately humble. Okay. The practical effects of this process will be the dissipation of glamour and the release of the human spirit, because the monad really is everything. Everything in us is the monad in differentiated forms. The practical effect of this process will be the dissipation of glamour and the release of the human spirit from the thraldom, you know, the thraldom, it's a slavery of matter. It will produce also the dispelling of illusion and the recognition of truth as it exists in the consciousness of those who are polarized in the awareness of the Christ. There are marvelous sentences here, I must say. And, you know, really giving them a good close look, we can see how much is being said that we may have overlooked before. So great opportunity lies before us. A higher type of truth can enter our consciousness, especially as illusion is dispelled and glamour is dissipated. And we can enter into the awareness of the Christ. In other words, truly having the mind as it is in Christ will become a real possibility instead of simply words. Now, I said that we cannot afford to maybe have the full discussion. You know, you can't go 2 hours. That's not possible given our programming tonight and the programming of the 2025 group where Tuya will be offering a meditation. So this is really here the end of our reading, and it's program, what is it? Is it 160? Is it 160?
Yes. 161? It's 161. You're correct.
Okay, that's good. And
I believe you started on page 167.
Okay. All right. I get all that kind of mixed up a bit. But now we're going to be looking at page one. We're at 168, starting almost on 169. So we will begin here on the 9th of October. And it will be a morning session, October 20. And morning and program 162, I guess, according to the numbers that you're giving me here, and reading number 102 and page 168 and close to 169. Okay, friends, so now
change that to 102. You have 202.
Oh, is that two? What did I say? 102. Oh, that's anticipating by 100, isn't it, BL?
Yes.
I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, right? Okay, so we've looked at a couple of things here today, and we've looked basically at the fusing of light and love, but in reality. You know, it gets. The way we sign our letters, I know it's true for me too, it can become almost automatic. You know, I usually write light, love, and power to cover the three aspects of divinity. But when I'm writing those, do I really feel them? So I can question myself. Maybe I don't, and maybe I could feel them better when I'm signing off. And we have learned something about the power of love on substance. And another way of saying that is the power of Venus on the earth. Venus affects the earth in that way. The earth is kind of the repository of unredeemed substance, and it has to be affected by the Venusian vibration, which illuminates and sends love into the substance such as it is at this time. And when we can really do that, we're going to put together the second ray soul and third ray personality of the earth. And more than that, that's what's going on in the solar system as well. There's a big kind of hangover from the previous solar system with unredeemed substance conditioned by the third ray. Now, when we can bring the love of the second ray soul in this solar system in contact with the leftovers, the karmic residues of the previous solar system, we will accomplish on a solar systemic level what we are trying to accomplish on an earthly level and what we are trying to accomplish on a group and individual level. The blending of the two and the three. Most of us will probably have to wait until the next solar system to bring in the first ray in full power and authenticity. Okay, now I'm going to, or we are going to, I think maybe BL, you can do this, right? Because Michael is kind of helping.
Olivia,
the,
you're self-muted. I've unmuted you, but you're self-muted. There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I didn't really want to start until Michael was through doing his work. So my hand got up early, but it was really for the discussion.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, so it's been, what a week it's been, we all know that. I wanted to just say something about the battle for democracy that we've been talking about here for a very long time. But, you know, there are other groups that are doing work. And so I sent an email to many, many coworkers in various other spiritual groups about the battle for democracy and the situation that we face with a president who refuses to abide by election results and leave office if he loses. So this is a huge crisis for democracy. And there are many other things going on, obviously. But in sending this out to other groups, then they could focus on this. And I invited them to add the use of the 1940 a great invocation to their work if it seemed appropriate, excuse me, and also for protection for Vice President Biden and Kamala and their group. Those of you here who've been involved in this discussion for so long, you know what I was saying. Some of you may have received the letter as it's been forwarded to you. But I just wanted us all to know that more people have been invited into this work of bringing in the dissipation of glamour if they choose so, but also bringing in the second ray or the second great invocation, which would be invoking Shambhala and the will of God. And then there's one more thing I wanted to tell you about. Mar Sorel and I have been working on a video of a talk that I gave at the SRI-USR conference actually 8 years ago. And it just kind of serendipitously came up that this video existed. And so we have edited it, and it's about an inside look at the Dalai Lama, Kala Chakra, and the World Peace Talk in 2011. Kala Chakra is the most potent, highest public tantric initiation for invoking shambolic energy. So this carries that. And I asked my dear friend David Regal to look at the video to make sure everything was okay about what I said about Kala Chakra. David is our DK Shambhala and Kala Chakra expert. He's the one that I invited to give that talk at the conference in 2010. And the video, and he's amazing. He is such a scholar about all of this. And the video of it is on YouTube, and it now has almost 90,000 views. So that's just amazing.
Indeed.
Anyway, so David thought my video talk was fine, but he also thought the video could help reactivate some of the shambolic energy, which could be so helpful now. Well, with that idea and discussion, I decided to seek wider distribution than just putting it on my TV channel and the Moria Federation. And so I sent the video a link to John Raymer with the Sign Network. And so he wants to do a sine wave premiere of it. They did that for my Holy Land talk and got 2,200 views. And anyway, so he really likes it, wants to do this. And so the premiere of it likely will be on Tuesday, October 6th, the day before the vice presidential debate. So people can see it then and afterwards, and then eventually we'll put it on Moria and anybody else that wants it. But the idea of having this coming out right now as soon as possible to stimulate this shambolic energy, and as people think about this, it really can bring forward, first of all, in the simplest way, thinking about moral values, but also in a higher sense, bringing in the shambolic will of God, which is what we all want to do.
That's all great, Olivia. Do you have the link? Is there a link that can be put in the chat box so people can?
I can't do it yet because he wants to premiere it. That's what they do. They send it out. It will be via Facebook, but then it goes out in so many ways. So to some of you, you know, I can send it out later once it's been posted, and then it will be there. So
that's great.
Maybe by next week we'll post the actual thing, and some of you who are on Facebook may already get the link. But this is just another way of getting this idea out to people in a receptive manner, and getting people to think about such things and what's going on morally, and what is the right thing to do for democracy today.
Yeah, I think we have, you know, despite all the very obvious threats and difficulties, we do have an opportunity right now because people are a little bit in shock about the whole thing, which may mean they can be more receptive to something new for them. So we look forward, it will be before the election, right, Libby?
It will be this Tuesday. It will be right before the first vice presidential debate, which hopefully will be much more decent than the presidential debate.
I suspect it will be more low key, and one may be able to follow certain lines of thought, perhaps.
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the info. Yes, sure. Thank you for all of these developments. Appreciate that very much.
Sure.
Okay. Now, who else, BL? Is there anybody that wants to speak before we have our meditation? Anything come to your mind? Yep.
I don't see any other hands, and there aren't really any other questions other than a couple of people commented about the fact that President Trump and his wife have COVID, but you already mentioned that. So
it is a piece of news that is racing around the world. You know, of course, there are conspiracy theories. I mean, you know, Michael Moore came out and said, well, maybe they really don't have it at all. Maybe it's just a lie to evoke sympathy. But I think that it's on the level. So we're going to have to be very careful. Already, there have been some respectful, non-vindictive responses to this news from his opponents. Biden is one. And you have various people on the side of democracy who are wishing them a speedy or effective recovery. You know, it's the only decent thing really to do. There are some people in the world that are jumping up and down with glee, but I don't think it's it's not the best public response, you know, because then one looks maybe, if one demonstrates that and says that aloud, one looks as bad as the other side. So it's, the polarity is astonishing in our country. And that is a polarity that can exist between the soul of humanity and its personality, between the angel of the presence and the dweller. For the most of the 20th century, there's been a battle on between the angel of the presence and the dweller. So this has implications far beyond the United States. And that's why it has to be handled so carefully by people of thought and people of spiritual inclination. There are ways to deal with the enemy. The enemy, yes, Master Moria used to have an interesting thing. He had what's called an enemies list. This is long before Richard Nixon. And Moria wanted to check often to see whether some worthy name had been added to the list of those who opposed him. It was kind of a, you know, courageous attitude, and it was a respectful attitude, respecting the opposition and realizing that the battle had to be impersonal. And that's something I think, you know, some people get so angry at what's going on, they start throwing their shoes at the television screen. But okay, you know, the idea of astral control and soul-infused mental focus, this is what we have to achieve if we're going to win this battle for the will of the people. And that's what basically democracy is. It's a hierarchical form of government and not easy to sustain. There was one of our, you know, founding members of the in the United States long ago, I think he was asked, you know, what would you like to say about our republic? I think he said something of this nature. He said, a republic is a wonderful idea, the best form of government, if you can keep it. And those lines, if you can keep it, tell us so much about how democracy and a true Republican, in the true Republican representation, has nothing to do with the party, how they should work if we can sustain their values and not degenerate into this kind of the beast. The personality is the beast. The Leo energy, we know, can be the king of beasts, and the unicorn has the initiate has its hands full and has to overcome that king of beasts. I think we have been seeing some of that, and we saw it at the last often unintelligible debate. Now, everything's going to change now, it appears, in terms of how the rest of the run-up to the election is pursued. So let's be very alert. Let's be very much together. Let's be filled with the Christ love as much as possible and help it redeem the substance that we might normally give into. We don't want to give into that personality substance. We want to redeem it. Okay, if anybody else, come on, because otherwise we're going to have our meditation.
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's pretty straightforward what the Tibetan has been saying here. And the book is has some wonderful perspectives on things we may have thought about in a different way for quite a while. So, you know, we're continuing our work with manipulation. There's astonishing manipulation going on. I mean, how you can, well, I can't speak for many other countries, but there are problems in Europe, yes. there are problems with autocrats, yes. And can you imagine suddenly making 710 mail sorting machines inoperative You've taken them all apart for their parts. It's like someone wanted to really make sure that the mail didn't get delivered. That is a huge manipulation, saying you're doing something for one reason and doing it really for another reason, which everybody really understands, but you're hiding it from them, you see. And this whole thing for the next 30 days will be filled with attempted manipulations. There have been manipulations in the Senate, less so in the House of Representatives, but, you know, still to a degree. People don't know, it seems, or don't wish to deal with each other in a straightforward manner. So we're going to have this meditation, and then we can get ready for the sacred pentagram work, which I think is in the chat box. I think you put it there. And then, you know, for those, I don't know how it works with the 2025 initiative group, but they have some kind of vigil going on where Tuya will be giving a meditation, offering a meditation. So it's quite a full night for us. Okay. So let's get going here. And we'll have not 10 minutes of silence, but we'll have some silence to begin the process. In the silence is the synthesis, and we want to feel ourselves really as of one consciousness, one being, one substance. Now, these are hazardous times, and we'll use the protective formula and make that cross. He calls it the cross of divinity, tracing the light. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And before each one of us, a powerful long-armed cross. And before the group, due to our combined energies, a greater cross of protection. By now we know these steps, of course. And we bring together the three lights, lifting the light of matter, especially etheric physical, to the level of the reasoning, the logical, truth-seeking mind. And we reach into the light of the soul, detecting it, so that we can really feel it, feel its presence. And we bring it down, this light of the soul, to join the other two lights on the lower mental plane. The light of the soul, the light of the mind, and the light of matter, all united, three as one, a kind of replication of the Trinity. And we use this affirmation together. The light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Finally, on the Buddhic plane, we do find something called the light of day. And that's a scorpionic light, interestingly enough, Scorpio, in a sense, ruling the Buddhic plane, and Scorpio being the place where the human monad is largely working. So we intensify the light. And as that light intensifies, we can work with it on the astral plane. Where the energies of glamour can be found. Even when you think of your solar plexus, it can put you in rapport with those very magnetic, but basically misleading energies. Now we have our formula, which we say together as we visualize the great searchlight turning on and casting its light upon the astral plane. The three lights as one produce the searchlight. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. So the world of meaning is the world of the soul. And the subtle world is not the same as the subjective world of the soul. So let's for a moment get that feeling of that beam out there where the glamour swirls. Probably we can begin to feel it, you know. but our beam will do its work in that turbulent area which misleads the desires of human beings. Now we will strengthen our beam through the invocation of the spiritual will. Visualize that. A stronger beam, more invincible, more powerful over the misleading energies. And then we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. And that goal is eliminating this devious and constant manipulation which robs people of their true will. This energy which has prevented humanity from dealing straightforwardly with each other. The staging of circumstances to lead others astray. And now we will use the words of power, first to acquaint ourselves with them again, and then in silence for 5 minutes with intensity of purpose as we see the work proceeding. And so we say, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of devious and constant manipulation. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind this glamour of devious and constant manipulation. And we will now have our 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose. We see the work is proceeding. We work together at dissipating this glamour of devious and constant manipulation. And as that glamour is weakened, the sun of straightforward dealing with each other shines. We do not seek to achieve outcomes which take advantage of others and from whom we withhold the true motive. So let us then withdraw our beam and redistribute our lights of the soul, of the mind, and of the etheric physical, the matter, we refocus on the mental plane. We've turned our attention away from the astral plane, and the searchlight of the soul is, as DK says, shut off. And we will sound the Om three times as a group, indicating our belief, our conviction that some little bit of work has been done to weaken the hold of glamour over humanity. Friends, we will persist with this. It's a work that needs to be done in these so-called post-truth days, the days when alternative facts are possible in the minds of some. And although we work subtly and esoterically, we can, for that reason, work very effectively, strengthening the men and women of goodwill and the new group of world servers and clearing wrong desire away from the human psyche. So we thank you. We have another program coming up. It's on Zoom, and the link is the same one we've been using for Libra programming, and I believe it is in our chat box. And you're most welcome to come to the sacred pentagram number 4, and that'll be offered by Tuya. And then I don't know how it works with the 2025 initiative group, but I'm not sure whether that's open to the public or whether it's a special meeting of certain people. Maybe someone knows. But they're doing very good work, as you know. That group, Sasha, or Alexander and Katya, and their associates very good work. So it's really pressing ahead, all of us here. And it looks like Tui is going to tell me something on the phone yesterday. Hello? Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's a special. Oh, for everybody. It's a vigil for everybody. I don't know where the link may be. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, maybe some of you know the link, and I've been told it's a special vigil, and many people can participate in it. Does anybody here know that link? If not, then I guess I would like to see if I can find it, because that vigil is a very good idea. Okay. Yes,
Michael. Yes. Michael, just give me a minute here. I think I have it on our events on our Moira Federation page. Let me see. It's the I got to find it. The online conference, the Agni Yoga International Community celebrates 100 years.
Not that one she's saying. I don't know, BL, I don't know. Tui's going to try to send the one to which she was invited via the chat. Okay, so I'm just not. No, the Agni Yoga Conference is going on in Italy right now.
And that's yes, and it says it's going to be translated into Russian and Spanish. So, okay, so that's the one I'm thinking of, is the one going on in Italy.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a different one. That's a different one. Thank you for your thought. Okay, I hate to have a delay here at the end, but did you just put something in the chat, Tuya, or not yet? Okay. Okay, well, we should have thought of this ahead of time, but now it may be a little too late. Yes, yes. Okay, so now it's in the chat box. Okay, very good.
I did it.
If you send it to everybody, that'd be great. Thank you, BL. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Gosh, our modern communication system, almost too much to handle. So if you want to join us for the Sacred Pentagram, you're most welcome. And then there is the vigil that goes on after that. Thank you, everybody. And tomorrow, let's see, this is Saturday, right? So tomorrow evening, we'll be working on the Soul of Nations. That Saturday evening. I think so. And also, there will be the last of the Sacred Pentagram meetings. And then on Sunday, as usual, we'll be following for the attracting of financial resources. And those will be broadcasts at our usual YouTube channel. We're going to get all this consolidated quite soon, so there's less complexity to it. Okay, lots of love and many blessings from the whole communications group and from all of us here at the Moria Federation, USR, and Seven Ray Institute. And thank you for attending. And the work goes on. Okay, bye for now.